Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good evening. We're going to skip the music this afternoon because we have a special 90-minute program. My name is Don Allen, and my co-host and mentor and historian and civil rights activist and leader, Mr. Ronald A. Edwards, is now at Studio B with his entourage. Mr. Edwards, how are you doing, sir?
Fine, Mr. Allen. Thank you, sir, for the introduction. So much going on. We are doing a 1.5-hour program tonight across the world, as we do every Wednesday. We have a vast audience and et cetera. Let me just say that my associate will clarify that we had reached out and made offers to a couple of specific individuals who have been very much in the news for the last 4 days here in our beloved Shangri-La, if you will, of the state of Minnesota.
Yes.
We'll probably be talking a little bit tonight, Mr. Allen, as I understand it, about the primaries, if you will, here in our beloved state, if you will. One of those rare occasions, not since, I think it was 1977, that we had every constitutional office in the state of Minnesota was up for election. Both Senate seats, of course, all eight House of Representatives seats. We had seats in the Minnesota legislature, special elections. We have reached out. Mr. Allen specifically has been the point person. We've asked Congressman Keith Ellison, who is going to be the standard bearer for the Democratic Party in the November election for Attorney General of the state of Minnesota, and we have asked the young lady that has been identified, Ms. Karen Monahan, to join us. It appears that both of them have declined. Am I premature in saying that, Mr. Allen, or how should we handle this?
You know, Mr. Edwards, stranger things have happened. At this point, we have no confirmation from anyone. I did reach out to both of them via social media, and we'll see what happens. We want to let our folks know that we're not here to attack anybody. We just want to give you a platform to tell what you didn't tell the Star Tribune or NPR. And this is the community's radio station where we give out a lot of information that you'll never read in the newspaper. So we'd like you to
Absolutely.
Be on board.
Absolutely.
Give us a call. That number is 347-426-3904.
Would you get that
well,
again, Mr. Allen, for our international
sure,
audience?
Sure, sure. Yeah, that number here is 347-426-3904. And the lines are open, but we're going to go ahead and go into our dissertation.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Edwards, the primary. A couple of things surprised me yesterday. Dismissing Omar and Ellison, but looking at these school board races, Kim Crepini, congratulations, and congratulations to Rebecca Gagnon. There were two at-large Minneapolis Public School Board seats open, and they came in with the votes, and they did pretty damn good, actually. And we will send her a message and thank her for running and, you know, holding up the torch to fire. Yeah, so it was interesting, but we'll see what happens.
Let us also indicate something that we have a obligation as a Don and Ron program, an urban program, if you will, crafted towards the African-American community. We're not like some of our foreign visitors and et cetera. We're not afraid to identify ourselves with Black Americans. I must give a shout-out to Denisa Neal Delgado and the close race, very close race, separated by about 313 votes against the super strong incumbent, Ray Dean, in 59B, if you will. Ray Dean, oftentimes referred to as the white man representing the Negro legislative district, if you will. But Ms. Delgado, I think, surprised a lot of people, if you will, with the closeness of the race. She got into it after some serious problems, and I hate to do this, and that I'm talking with my associate from the right, Mr. Allen. I hate to have to fess up to this, but Ms. Delgado expressed absolute frustration, anger, disappointment with regards to how African Americans specifically were treated at the Democratic conventions this past spring and summer, if you will, decided.
Oh no!
Someone
oh no!
To yes, yes, she was very, you know, perceived and et cetera. And I did not know if she really had a chance. I figured maybe, you know, 800-900 votes. My God, she almost acquired 2,000 votes. She had 1989. And Ray Dean, who oftentimes around the Capitol speaks as the, you know, kind of the boss, if you will, representing the colors, if you will. Also, I noticed that Bobby Joe Champion, one of the two African-American state senators here in our beloved state, who actually had dropped out of the race, and there's already a lot of whispering going on about what really happened with regards to the support for Bobby Joe, the champion, Senator Bobby Joe Champion. He basically, though he had already indicated that he was not really running, though he could not withdraw his name, it was already on the ballot. But I understood that early on when the senator indicated that he felt that he was ready to run for the 5th congressional seat, that not only could he not get any support from the Democratic Party or black leadership, but he couldn't get any assistance from the sitting incumbent. Congressman Ellison. yes, everyone has been kind of sworn to secrecy, if you will, not to talk about it, not to say much about it. That's why we're having a lot of, and man, we are really big in this community here in Twin Cities, these healing sessions. Have you been hearing about them, Don? A lot of talk about
it. I've been hearing about these healing sessions, and I just, you know, I'm not going to knock the guys that are out there doing these healing sessions, Mr. Edwards, but healing from what?
I'm not understanding. It's not like we have put anybody in slavery, if you will, or that we are, quote unquote, ones who are involved with actions which are an embarrassment to the nation. With regards to the sitting president and et cetera. But anyways, everyone's talking about these healing sessions. Every time I hear a conversation now, a healing session is taking place. There is some enumerations, if you will, that are in place, people getting their dimes and dollars. But, you know, the community has been somewhat tenuous ever since the disaster a month ago at Weber Park. In the attempt to control the public, the dissertation about the death of Thurman Blevins. You remember that? That we've already forgotten about that. Isn't that amazing? No one talks about Thurman Blevins.
Yeah,
young African American shot killed by two police officers along the 4800 block of Campton Avenue North. We don't even hear his name mentioned anymore.
Yeah, and you know, you're looking at the news around here, they jump from one thing as much as the protesters do. They jump to the next thing that's going to keep them fresh in front of the television. It's unfortunate that Mr. Blevins, you know, was shot by the police, but it's more important that we continue. I mean, if the mainstream media can bring up Charleston every year as an anniversary celebrating that negativity, you know, we should be able to bring things up on a daily basis. Mr. Edwards, we do have to get a number out. We've got a couple calls here.
Let's get them because we're here tonight to talk in terms of what has happened and the primary and the controversy and et cetera. Get them in, Don. Introduce them. Okay. You know, let's
yeah, caller, what's your name? And let's get
Lenny.
Into it.
Lenny. Don and Ron.
Hey,
glad you guys are taking
brother.
My call today, man.
Go ahead.
I got one question I've been posing to folks, and I don't know if you guys want to chime in on it, but I'm gonna ask you. We elected in yesterday's primaries a lot of blue dog Democrats were voted for the general. What do we think about the concept of having a rhino run against one of the blue dog Democrats to try to upset this apple cart of the extremely conservative Democrats that we have elected thus far in Minnesota for the last 50 years.
Give our audience across the country and across the world, what is your definition of a boo dog? So that people understand what the thinking is here, because the Democrats like for us to think that all Democrats are great and look out for the interests of the sons and daughters of the African. So what is a boo dog? Can you define for us, please?
Well, I'm going to say they're really Republicans, but they can't get elected inside of a Democratic-controlled area, so they label themselves as Democrats, so they're blue dog Democrats. Their policies and their behaviors and conservatism is not in any way changed than if you were had a Republican in that position as an elected official. So that's how I define the blue dog Democrat. But I know that you probably have a better definition of it than I do, Mr. Edwards.
Not really. I think that the analogy is on point. I'll tell you this, sir, and again, my associate, Mr. Allen, from the right, you know, I know how he is, but I think that the Democratic Party, which now is being ran and controlled by a heavy faction of the gay and lesbian community, contrary to what people like to try to say in this state, there is not the best of relationships, even amongst the gay and lesbians of color. And one of the people that if you were to reach out to would be Council Vice President Jenkins, who is very honest, very forthright and upfront with regards to what has really been going on, because there is discrimination and racism within the so-called the lesbian, gay, transgender community. Now, that now plays a significant factor with regards to how the African American is being treated. Now, everyone is maintaining that with the ascension, if he wins in November, of Congressman Keith Ellison to become Attorney General, that some way or another that puts us on course to derail the Trump freight train, if you will. I'm not understanding that, Lenny, because actually the good congressman was in the best position that you could be in to challenge, quote-unquote, the stewardship of Donald Trump, in that he was in the House of Representatives, the United States House of Representatives. Those are the two bodies, determinations relevant to impeachment of the current sitting president. It would be the House, as we all know, that would bring forward the articles of impeachment, and it would be the United States Senate that would act as judge and jury. So I'm still trying to figure out just what all of the celebration that we were supposed to embrace as the sons and daughters of the African with regards to, okay, we've got Ellison, and so you guys need to just be satisfied and basically happy with what you have and what you got. I can't disagree, sir, with what you said. I, you know, this is not the Democratic Party, quote unquote, that we were all allegedly so encouraged with during the election of Barack Obama to two terms as president of the United States. That's my thinking, Mr. Allen. I don't know how you're thinking on it.
I know
you have some observations.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do, and I thank you for that. The important thing that Lenny said to me was RINO, and RINO stands for Republican in name only. And I think it would Republican to run against Omar or run against, in this case, Ray Dean. I mean, is it 59A or 59B or something like that, Lenny?
Yeah, 59B.
Yeah, 59B okay.
So the question is the Minnesota GOP willing to put $5,000 to $10,000 in his coffer or her coffers, I don't know who you're talking about at this point, and support that person with lawn signs and troops on the ground? Okay, that's where you get an issue, because in 2008, when Barb Davis White ran against Keith Ellison for Congress, the CD5, you know, there was some apprehension and some pullback of putting those white boots in North Minneapolis. and areas of South Minneapolis. And if this person can organize, and you're going to need a minimum of about 50 people to do that door knocking in that 59B, because you can't do it once. You need to do it about 10, 15 times between now and November 2nd or whatever it is, 6th. And
first Tuesday in November.
So with that said, it would be an upset because Ray Dean's been sitting there solid, but, you know, we have to see what happens. Because you're going to need the support. You just can't go out there and not campaign. Like we had some people running for Hennepin County Commissioner that just rested on their laurels.
Man, Mr. Allen, you took the words right out of my mouth because I was going to confront Lenny with the fact that as long as I can remember, we have been in this community been talking in terms of representation from the African-American community, so loyal to the Democratic Party, that we were thinking even before Marky Stangline and people like that, who actually Mark Stangline was a Republican in Democratic wolf's clothes. Now, you had a former elected public official who a decade ago had the support of the so-called hierarchy. Her name was Natalie Johnson Lee. And I saw that, I was aware when Ms. Lee announced after all of that confusion when the congressman of the 5th Congressional District indicated he was going to step away, let the Somali candidate run, and he was going to run for attorney general. I thought that there would be a better commitment, not only to Natalie Johnson Lee, but I also thought to Lisa Neal Delgado, okay? Because in many respects, it has always been felt, going back to the days of former state representative Randolph Staton, that that Northside district, that 58, if you will, had kind of been a enclave for the African-American juggernaut, if you will. But we've gotten to the place now where we basically can't get a seat anywhere at the table. Lenny, my question to you is that why should we be faithful, and I hate to use the word dog after what Donald Trump did yesterday, but why are we expected to be the faithful puppy? I'll use the term puppy. I mean, what is it that has been offered to us? And I like what you have said. I'd like to see an alpha.
I got some background music for Lenny's answer. Mr. Edwards, I have some background music for Lenny's answer, but go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah. I wanted to try to concur with what Lenny has said because, you know, we're basically being told in the black community that we should stand down, that we should not criticize the party of the plantation, if you will, the Democrats, if you will.
Mr. Edwards, you saying a lot there. You're saying exactly what I'm thinking, is that we have become the second-class stepchild who's supposed to vote the exact way we've been voting for 50 years in North Minneapolis. But yet, we're not supposed to be able to hold those positions, even in what we consider our safe enclaves that are defined as the area that we're supposed to have our strongest potential for getting elected officials. I think something is awry here. I mean, I don't know what to say, but you're right. I would expect the county commissioner should have been an aggressive, here's our opportunity to get somebody in there. It didn't materialize. She came in third.
We're seeing the
Asian and other communities now step right
Latino
over.
Latino Hispanic. I understand the winner is a Latino Hispanic. For 50 years, I've heard of the dream of an African American on the county board of commissioners, but that ain't gonna happen in our lifetime. But go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and I'd like to interject something here real quick too. You know, here goes the thing. Where are the Minnesotans? We got Congressman Keith Ellison from Detroit. We got Omar, wherever she's from. And I have no disrespect at all. I just don't know the specific town or country. And you have
Somalia,
people from Florida.
Somalia,
okay, you have people from Florida, head of the DFL. You have people that didn't originate here, especially in the black community, taking upon these leadership roles, you know, that are important without understanding any of the history of the black community in Minnesota. And so, like Lenny and you said too, Mr. Edwards, both of you so elegantly, is there's a challenge that we can't get a seat at the table. And it's not that we're not trying. Well, some people aren't trying. But, you know, we're staying in our lane, you know.
But we also have to be encouraged.
Yeah. Well, the DFL is having the same problems that the Minnesota GOP is having, the connection with black folks. You have to be a certain person. You can't be this. You can't be that. You can't be a Mr. Edwards, a Lenny Chisholm, a Don Allen. You got to be this over this milk toast over here in the corner that, you know, we can send people your way. This thing is designed and it's set up, and our folks aren't even paying attention. Mr. Edwards, I want you guys to hold because we have a caller that is called, has been on hold for now 9 minutes. I'd like to get this person on the air.
Lenny, appreciate you calling in. All right. All right, man. Wow.
Caller, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Ron and Don. This is Lisa calling in. You know, I've been listening to your question. Well, one thing that I wanted to say out of the three people that were speaking, one thing that you all have in common was that you're not the group of people who put Obama in office. Okay? We have a generation of young people who put Obama
in office. Wait, hold up.
Can I finish?
I know I'm not the person that put Obama in office. I'm a Republican.
No, I'm saying as far as our generation of people, there's a generation of young people who put Obama in office. And I'm correct about that. The reason why I said that is because right now we are talking about the primaries. And one thing I want to say is when it comes to our election before and after, education is number one. If our people don't know who's on the ballot, who's running, if there's nobody out here knocking on doors, these people are not going to respond. It seems like a lot of African-Americans in our community, they just pop up, select an open seat, and assume that a Negro is going to vote for them because they are Negro, and they need to stop that. That's what's been going on for the last 50 years. You can't just come because your name is well-known, grab a seat, and assume people are going to vote for you. You have to work hard for that seat. You just don't get it. You don't. Our people in Minnesota, they have this entitlement type of attitude, but one thing they're not doing is they fail to educate our voters in our community. They have all kind of things going on, and they need to be educated on who's going to have their best interest. And it seems like the only people that's coming in, speaking to them, reaching out to them, are people who don't share the same skin color as them. So if someone gets in office that don't look like them, then they worked hard for that, and they earned that. They earned that vote. And a lot of people in our community who are black. Well, I don't care what I sound like, but I just wanted. Another thing I wanted to say was, you know, we had Emmer coming to our community, and he brought Robin Robinson with him. So we understand the politics that's played when it comes to a Republican or a Democrat. It doesn't matter. But one thing that our young generation, they don't play Democrat or politics. They play on who have their best interest. And that's one thing I heard you all say. You're constantly saying, I don't know. But you're elders. You're supposed to know. And I think this lack of knowing is the reason why we don't have a...
Lisa, let's be specific. What it is that, I mean, you're saying that we don't know, we're saying we don't know. I'm just looking at this, and I can speak for myself, Mr. Edwards can speak for himself. I'm looking at this construct of these people running to the polls, voting for the same person every time.
The same person?
They're not.
I don't see the same people on the ballot every time. Well, actually, that's because these are the same people that feel entitled to go and select an open seat and assume that people
are
going to just vote for them.
Are you talking about Congressman Keith Ellison and Elam Omar?
No, I'm not talking about neither one of them. They earned that position. They worked hard for that.
Okay.
I'm speaking of anyone in our community that one year they're running for a school board, then the next year they're running for a commissioner, then a year after that they're running for governor. I mean, you need to pick out what you want to run for. You can't just, because the seat is open, you just want to take it and feel you're going to get it. I mean, that's not going to happen. You know, it takes more than a North Side vote to get in an office. And that's what a lot of people don't understand when they run. They think that the North Side is going to automatically get them in that position when they're wrong with that. That's the mistake that people have been making for over the 50 years.
Before I throw it over to Mr. Edwards, I got two questions I got to ask you.
He's a minister. All right now. Praise the Lord.
I said Dr. Edwards, Dr. Brown.
All right.
A. Edwards. Okay, so let's just real quickly here, because we got an hour and a half, but let me ask you this. Based on what happened to Al Franken, should Congressman Keith Ellison do the same? Should he resign?
Now, does anyone know what's going on in your home with you and your family? And is that
No. That's not the question.
That's
I
the
ask.
Question.
You're talking
about Franken.
I'm talking about Franken. Franken.
Okay.
Al Franken resigned after about a month or so or less with allegations. No charges, no nothing. Allegations.
Was it a third-party allegation?
It could have been a fourth-party allegation. It was an allegation.
Okay, but no one
knows. But, exactly. So,
should
the same thing happen with Congressman Ellison? So he
in a court of law, in
no,
a court of law,
no
people
court
are innocent until proven, in a court
so
of public opinion. You're innocent until proven guilty.
Not in the court of public opinion, my dear. But anyway, what I'm asking you.
Well, in this state, obviously, that's the case. Okay.
Madam. Don, let's move it on. I'm getting text messages. We've got people holding. People want to get through.
Okay.
Because you can't
handle it. Okay.
Okay.
You're
hey,
done.
Bye bye.
Why don't you go have a drink? Go have a drink.
Hey, we have another caller. 816. You're live on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Allen. Mr. Edwards, how are you? Steve.
Okay. All right, Steve. What can we do for you today?
Yeah, I had a question about Congressman Ellison. Isn't he the deputy at the DNC or something like that, number two?
Yes,
number
he's the
number
two
man in the DNC.
He's the deputy chair. He assumed that position when he was defeated by Perez, who won the chairmanship.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to kind of echo what you said earlier about, a little bit confused about why he's running for statewide office now. When they're all talking about a blue wave that's coming and the power that this man could have in Congress in just a matter of a few months to fight Donald Trump, I don't get this, why he's doing this. I don't understand it at all.
I think that that's a fair question, sir. My understanding recollection is you're down there in – well, kind of Republican territory, hard, tight places, Kansas, Missouri, down through there.
Yeah.
Let me just say this, because it certainly is worthy of discussion, a meaningful discussion, reflective discussion, not discussion driven by, the bottle or whatever else, is that I could not quite understand, number one, why there was a decision to leave what appeared to be, at least for the next 4 years, a safe seat. That was number one. Number two, I find it rather interesting, and maybe in that we will be on until 10 Central Daylight Time tonight. Maybe you could help us with it, Steve, right? That one of the things that I am really puzzled by, because even in the case of the beloved John Conyers of Michigan, the Black Congressional Caucus came out and stood with him. I'm a little concerned as it pertains to the silence of the Congressional Black Caucus as it pertains to the current congressman from our 5th Congressional District. And then that takes us into what is the constitutional agenda that will allow you as a state attorney general to be able to deal, quote-unquote, with the President of the United States in such a manner that you can block his actions, stop the actions of the federal government, because what you basically have to do is turn yourself into a state rightist, if you will. And so I never could quite get clear in my mind that decision, if you will. Now we have enough controversy in our state that I'm just hopeful that the Democrats can hold on to the attorney generals. Up to you. I don't know if you know it, sir. I know your people do their research down there. We haven't had a Republican sitting, and I know this makes Mr. Allen feel good. We haven't had a Republican sitting as attorney general in the state of Minnesota since 1970. And so, and the individual that won the Republican nomination last night is one really mean individual to the extent that, you know, he's not going to be intimidated, bullied, or anything like that. So I just hope that the Democratic Party will swing fully behind Congressman Ellison in the next 3 months as we move towards the election in November. But I could not answer, sir, your specific question about what is the plan, if elected, to deal with Donald Trump leading towards, quote-unquote, impeachment, because I mean Donald Trump is still going to be in office constitutionally until 2020. I would like to hear that, but that's my take. I can't speak for Mr. Allen, but that's my take. I think there's some questions that have not been clearly answered, but I'm quite sure that the strong Democratic base here in Minnesota will answer those questions.
Also, I was kind of wondering the way these things tend to go. Seems like there's an allegation, and then more people come out. Do you think there are going to be more allegations down the road now coming out? Or?
You're talking, sir, in the case of the congressman for the 5th Congressional District?
Yeah.
I'm afraid so. I know that there was an article written by a couple of media groups, and this is interesting, based on the East Coast, in which kind of hinted at that. There are some newspaper articles, there are some letters, documents, and et cetera. In fact, I had been made aware that the last caller that we just had, that I thought Mr. Alex did an appropriate job with that young lady, that she had been saying that that congressman could never have been involved with anything like that. Unfortunately, sir, that's not what the court records show. But I don't want to go any further unless someone wants to really take us on and challenge us, if you will, because there are a number of individuals out there that are indicating that they intend to step up. I mean, this is going to be the Attorney General's race here in Minnesota is going to be brutal. It's going to be bloody.
Exactly. Well, and now, as far as I understand, I mean, do you think the Republican Party right now, from what I understand, they haven't won statewide office in a number of years. A Republican hasn't. Is that true?
We have a couple of Republicans in the federal House of Representatives. They are basically strong down in the southern part of the state, and then we had a major upset in what is called the 8th Congressional District, which actually is physically one of the larger districts in the United States. It's touch and go up there. It's called the Iron Range, if you will, and it's touch and go. I think, and I know that this cuddles the blood of my associate, but in the 2016 election, you have to remember, sir, and I think you called in a couple times a couple years ago, Donald Trump almost, by the slimmest of margins, the contender, Ms. Clinton, Secretary Clinton, as they like to call it, just barely hung on. And actually it was only because of the prominent Democratic presence in the so-called metropolitan area, which when we say that here, we're talking about Minneapolis and St. Paul. We are a state right now that is we should be called really now. Again, I hate to do this because, Mr. Allen's sitting there watching with a smile on his face. We are right now a swing state. We are certainly a swing state. It depends on the personality, and I think you know where I'm going with this one. It depends on the personality of the individual running for the office, be they an incumbent or be they a challenger, be they male or be they female. Now, it's a little bit different in terms of something that no one talks about, because we've never had, and I say we because I've been here in Minnesota since 1945. And so all of that BS about, elders and all of that, I know that's fake. But we have never had, and they don't talk about it because most of these folks don't know their history, The closest we ever came to a African-American winning statewide office was in the 1970s when a gentleman, in fact, he actually was born in the state of Missouri out there in St. Joe's, later became commissioner of Veterans Affairs and et cetera. Again, I know that's not something that a lot of these folks there know because they forget their history quickly. His name was Elmer Childers, and he came close to winning the position of Secretary of State. But he was, and I hate to say this again with Mr. Allen smiling over there, he was betrayed by the Democratic Party. The entire Democratic ticket except for Elmer Childers won that year.
Wow.
That was the year, Mr. Allen, you and I have had some debates about this, sir. That was the year that the late Earl Craig challenged the quote-unquote the Happy Warrior, and here in Minnesota the Happy Warrior was Hubert Humphrey. It was when I saw the Democratic Party really show a side that made me think that we were with the Talmadge and others in the South, because white folks talk pretty bad about black people for those that pretend that they don't remember their history. When Mr. Craig, who unfortunately later was murdered, lost his life, decided to challenge Hubert Humphrey, man, these folks went off the tracks here. And some maintain that in the election of 1972, that Elmer Childers, who was the only African-American on the ticket, endorsed by the Democratic Party, was punished because Negroes didn't control themselves, if you know what I mean, that we were children. Now, that gentleman's name was Elmer Childers. He was a strong Democrat, if you will, but he was even a stronger black advocate, if you will.
I kind of wanted to change the subject just a little bit to the national scene. And there's this, you've heard of Omarosa. Do you think Trump actually used the N-word? And does she have tapes? Or what do you think
of
that whole situation?
I can only speak for myself. There's no doubt in my mind, based on who he is, based on who his family is. If you knew about the history of his father, who was a grand dragon of the Ku Klux Klan, involved in incidents in the 1920s, I definitely believe if you think in terms of how he has talked about people and et cetera, the birther situation against the past president, the Barack Obama, beloved and respected individual, but all of the other statements, his comments yesterday, and I was surprised, Mr. Allen, that the first female that called in did not put importance on that, because I would think that African-American women should be demanding of African-American men that we should be up in absolute arms with regards to the statements made. I mean, he called her a lowlife, a dog, and everything.
Yeah, they're not going to say anything, Mr. Edwards. They're not going to say a word. They don't want to say a word about that. You know, Omarosa is not a dog. Dogs are loyal. And so if she has a tape, if she doesn't have a tape, you know, at this point, we've seen her performance or seen her in action with the media quite a bit. So I'm just waiting to see. You know, there's all these videos coming out from everywhere. Let's see a video. Show me a video or a recording or something.
Well, that's what happened here in Minnesota now. I mean, so that our caller here understands is that I'm not sure. I mean, I'm hearing people make all kinds of statements. I'm not sure that the young lady who made certain allegations, I don't know, she may have a video. Her son says he saw the video. People have tried to attack and demonize and et cetera. But now back to your question about Omarosa. I just feel that a person – now, she has been an associate and friend and whatever else of Donald Trump for 15 years. You get to know a person pretty good. And you asked the question to me again. I cannot speak for my associate, Mr. Allen, but I do believe that she does have the goods. I really do. Let me say this also. You would think you would never have to make this statement about America. If there is anyone at the top of the list, the top three or four for assassination or mysterious death, it is her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would be, if she should be very concerned about her safety.
Yeah.
Because
I agree.
This president is an angry white man right now. He is very, very angry.
Yeah.
And he is surrounded by killers, if you will.
Yeah.
When you talk about his chief of staff, we're getting down to the kind of things that Mr. Allen even says, that and the previous caller we had, that black folks are not supposed to talk about, you know.
Yeah.
And they're killing us off like you know, we're a fly paper. But if I were her, I would be very cautious about my comings and goings and my security arrangements.
Well, I just think it's interesting, too, about the number of black people he calls dumb. Oh, I mean, I think Don Lemon, LeBron James, Maxine Waters. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, I don't know what that – I mean, I kind of know what it's about, but I kind of want to hear your thoughts on it, too. But
I think it is a part of the narcissistic, demeanor of this man, if you will. Donald Trump has a burning dislike for people of color, be they Latino, Hispanics. You know, he basically silenced the Hispanics to the extent of they're all nervous and scared. They maintain that they walk softly and carry no stick at all, that he won't continue to pursue the wall. By the way, that's his next endeavor. He's going to get that wall. He's going to get money from that wall. And if the other populations of this country have to suffer, particularly populations of color, this man has an outstanding dislike and hatred of people of color, and particularly for African Americans.
Yeah.
This woman, this sister, and let me just do it, Mr. Allen, because I don't agree with my associate there. I think that there are black women, may not be in this town, but there are black women out there in the vineyard that are going to stand up, irrespective of how they felt about how she compromised herself. His tone, his language, his dismissal, his expression of hatred and bigotry towards the sons and daughters of the African are such that I look to people like Maxine Waters. I'm giving you what I consider to be the appropriate foundation of the kind of strong black woman that you can depend on. Okay, that will stand up. In fact, I do believe that the Black Congressional Caucus gentleman did issue a statement, and the white media has given it no play at all. And if both of you were to go on your computers, I think that you would find the information. I find it amazing that the black institutions have been put on hold, if you will. In fact, I would have expected to hear something, Mr. Allen, and I guess I have to concede that you're on point. I had expected to have seen and heard a press conference from our NAACPs and urban leagues. Well, we only have one every league in this city this morning. You know, not so much in support of the sister, if that's difficult, but in the disrespect shown, quote unquote, to the legacy of black women in this country. That's where I'm at, sir. In Kansas or Missouri. By the way, I'd like to do this, Mr. Allen, because I've been following. I understand that you have a man who, and by the way, we already have a candidate for governor, Jeff Johnson, who is a bleeding heart supporter of Donald Trump. I understand you have a individual running for governor. And by the way, has that contest been decided in Kansas? Can you speak to that quickly,
sir? Oh, Chris Kobach. He won the Republican nomination. So he would be probably the one most likely to win. It's possible that I'm trying to think who the Democratic candidate is offhand, but I think there was a Democratic governor probably about 10 years ago in Kansas, but it's a solidly red state. So the odds of him winning, I think, are pretty good. Yeah, Chris, he's the one that, Mr. Voter Fraud, that they couldn't find. Yeah. So
I understand Mr. Kobach has spoken very ill of African-Americans, and you do have a large black population in the state of Kansas. Am I correct?
It's probably about 12 to 15% of the population. Most of it is in Wichita. So it is a fairly, it's mainly a rural state, but you do have Topeka and Wichita, the like.
Kansas City, Kansas,
where you have, we have fairly large black populations there,
Mr. Allen, we may have, I don't want to cut you off, Steve, but if we have any other callers, we want to thank Steve. Do you have any other questions about the African-American woman referred to as a dog? Any other questions of us? Because we do have the platform.
No, I was just going to, listen to the rest of your show off the air here. So thank you
very much.
Michelle, I appreciate
it. Do you have any questions, sir?
Oh, no, I don't have any at all. And we do have another caller. And,
all right, let's get him in. Thank you, sir. Thank you from out of Missouri and Kansas. Yeah.
56 to 57, 55, you're live on the air. What's your question?
Hi, yes. My call is for Mr. Ronnie Northside on the show. And
there's
I want to tell you, Don. Oh, okay. Well, he seemed like Mr. Ronnie Northside because he get all this information from the police, like Johnny Northside. But one thing I wanted to say to you, Don, was, you know what? Let me say this.
You continue to be disrespectful, if you will.
I am 42 years old.
Girlfriend.
You
get
said something about a drink.
Get you a job.
You said something about a drink, so I wanted to respond
to
you. I'm 42 years old, and if I wanted to smoke crack, I can. Okay? Because I'm grown, and
I
can do that.
I know.
My question for you, Don, is, Don, if it's okay, Don, if you don't think that Omarosa, you want Omarosa to show proof. Shouldn't that be the same standard for anyone else that have accusations against any of our elected officials?
Exactly. And I'm not saying, I'm keeping them on an even level. I'm asking both.
Okay, well, and that's
so
a fair response, and I respect that. My point is, that's a fair response. I respect it, and I think you should get your own show. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Oh, goodbye.
Okay.
Bye bye, sweetheart, and you get your job back at TCF. Go ahead, Don.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, this is just weird. You know, Ms. Edwards, I had titled this show tonight, Did Minnesota Reject the Me Too Movement? And I think that's what that caller was responding to, because there were so many defenses going up. And, you know, either way it goes, Congressman Ellison, you know, I'm a Republican. Really, what you do in your bedroom is your business. But there are certain ethic and moral standards that are adhered to by the United States Congress and any other office that you might hold. Mm-hmm. And so with that said, you know, I'm just looking at the different committees Congressman Ellison is assigned to and his Twitter feed of what's happening, what he's doing here. And I just have to ask some questions, you know, or I make some comments, is like, what has Minnesota, how has Minnesota benefited the 5th Congressional District?
Well, let's identify some of the committees that he's on and has been on for the last 12 years. Do you have there in front of you?
Yeah, I have it right here in the studio. It says Keith serves on the House Financial Services Committee and the House Democratic Steering Committee. The House Financial Services Committee has jurisdictions over the banking system, stock exchanges, and the housing and insurance industries. The committee also handles policy matters, including monetary policy, international finance, and combating terrorist financing. The committee also oversees the U.S. Federal Reserve, of course, the Treasury Department, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, Securities Exchange Commission, and the National Credit Union Administration. The Office of the Comptroller and Currency, the OCC, that is, and the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, the Federal Finance Agency, and the Import-Export Bank. The House Democrat Steering Committee determines the party platform and committee assignments for Democratic members, and that's it.
Well, I'm sorry, you must have missed some pieces. Isn't he on any committees that deal with foreign affairs in the Middle East?
Probably the Export Import Bank, and the International Finance, and the committee. This one at combating terrorist financing, which is the House Financial Services Committee, of course. So I mean, I'm looking
terrorist.
At the page from
financing. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at his page, ellison.house.gov, about committee assignment, and that's exactly what it says.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I'm looking for the word Minnesota, Minneapolis, 5th Congressional District, in these various press releases going all the way back to May 2018, and all I see is a D and MN by his name, behind his name. I don't really see anything significant for Minnesotans, and not that I have a problem with that because he's doing what he wants to do. Congratulations, but, you know, I don't see it.
Well,
so yeah, I am still.
I guess I thought with his PR relationships that he would have had a little bit more affiliation with the situation in the Middle East, because he, first of all, you know, being the first Muslim in the history of the Congress of the United States, that I remember was significant. A lot of conversation and discussion here a decade ago in the Twin Cities about that and about what he could blame. Now, the reason I ask that is because of an article in the New York Times about 5-6 weeks ago, in which at point he had played, I thought, a significant role, according to his PR people, in the nuclear agreement with Iran. Oops, Iran. how
okay.
Interesting. But anyways, I know that there was an article that talked in terms of a meeting at one of the upscale, you know, five-star hotels in New York City at a time when the resolution was going before the United Nations for a vote. The Obama administration had put together a very knowledgeable group of individuals from the Muslim community and et cetera. And I remember the president had come under some criticism for, you know, depending upon and listening to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And at one point, I know that the congressman was a significant follower of Minister Louis Farrakhan, and then I guess something happened. Maybe there's some person here or somewhere else in the nation that can clarify. But then there seemed to be some falling out. And in fact, we were reviewing some articles in the Final Call, which is the Nation of Islam paper, that seemed to indicate that there had been a strained relationship. But President Obama, as he was finalizing the nuclear agreement with Iran, had asked this group of individuals of color who were of the Muslim persuasion to be a part of the final drafting and et cetera that was going to go before the United States, the United Nations Security Council and et cetera. So I guess I was kind of disappointed that there wasn't more of a committee flavor with regards to the committees that he was assigned to. Maybe Brother Carson, the second Muslim to be elected to the United States Congress, maybe that was handed off to him. I'm just not sure. But what Mr. Allen has provided us, that comes from the archives of the Congress of the United States, correct, Mr. Allen?
Yes, absolutely correct. Absolutely correct, Mr. Edwards. And I'm just looking at this here. I'm also looking at contributors in 2017 to 2018. Has kind of a lowball number, so which makes me think that this might be a little off by about $300,000. The grand total contributions, as reported by the current election cycle from Congressman Keith Ellison, $764,000. Looks like the top donors there, contributors, I should say, were University of Minnesota, Turning 40 Productions. Do you know who Turning 40 Productions are? Could be?
No,
I don't know
ahead.
Who that is.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to look and see. Yeah, they give a lot of money,
I
guess.
They're
affiliated
with the University of Minnesota or in the state of
Minnesota? No. They're totally separate. They're number two in contributors to Congressman Ellison.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Home Creations, United Steelworkers, Unite Here, and after Unite Here, which is number five at $10,000, it goes down to $5,000 from PRG. Don't know who that is. Don't really care, but that's where it is. And I'm just looking at this, the Kaplan and Kaplan, $6,000. University of California, $7,000. The Blackstone Group, $9,100. Heartland Realty.
Blackstone Group? Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
definitely not to be confused with the Blackstone Peas or Blackstone Nation in Chicago. I'm quite sure of that. But you can't, you're not able to see anything that would indicate any foreign donations, correct?
No, I don't see anything, and I could find it. Let me just hear. Just give me 10 seconds. Foreign.
Yeah, because see, there were a lot of visits over the years in Saudi Arabia, and of course we know the powerful influence that the Saudis have. Though the Saudis, see what's interesting on that, the Saudis and the Iranians, of course, are bitter enemies as we speak, if you will, particularly when you talk about that brutal war that is going on in Yemen. And I am a little bit interested in can you find anything in which the congressman has spoke out against the Saudis, given their coalition efforts in Yemen? I mean, particularly, like the example, the deaths of 50 children just a week ago by Saudi, as they call them, coalition forces, airstrikes and et cetera. That is a brutal, brutal war there in Yemen. And I know that, some people say that, we shouldn't, it's none of our business as black people, the sons and daughters of the African, to be concerned with what happened over there.
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh,
give a little feedback there, Mr. Eric.
Feedback from the NSA?
Yeah. There we go.
Did you find anything as it pertains to any statement by the congressman's office about the conflict in Yemen?
No, not at. I mean, I am looking.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the reason that I raised that question is not from the left. From the left. Wow, we get some real feedback.
We get some heavy duty
feedback,
Mr. Edwards. Let me see if I can eliminate that in 10 seconds here.
It would be because of the humanitarian issue. And that's one of the things you certainly want to look at when running for political office or when you have, maintain political office. Because, see, there's a lot of silence. I think my associate, Mr. Allen, is working out the technical situation. Because I'm also concerned about the silence. This is for our international, worldwide listening audience. The silence as it pertains to the military conflict that is going on in Central Black Africa, which I've talked about on this program and on my own with regards to Niger, Mali, if you will, Cameroon, places like that, because no one is talking about that American military forces are involved in the killing, and not only of Somalis and et cetera, in Somalia and Kenya and et cetera, but a lot of black lives are being lost in the western part of the so-called sub-Sahara, if you will. Don, have you got that fixed? Are you back with us? He must be still working on it, I assume. That's another piece that I think is, by the way, the Congress is reconvening, so there's a lot of things that the Congress will be working on from now until the Thanksgiving recess or whatever, and then, of course, the session ends on the 31st of December, and, of course, on that particular date, Congressman Ellison's term will have ended officially, and by that time, certainly, we will know the fate of his candidacy to become Attorney General for the state of Minnesota. So
yes,
those
I'm
are some
back.
Things. Okay. So those are some things that one would want to ask. What I was saying, Mr. Allen, that you were working with on the technical, I'm kind of puzzled by the silence, even here in Minnesota, about the American military actions in Black Africa, if you will. You know, I mean, they still talk about, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan. And by the way, it looks like the Taliban is back. You know, I hate to say it like that. But anyways, no one talks about, and I was just kind of wondering if you had seen anything or looking at anything there, because we don't see it over here on these websites, any statements about American military intervention.
It's funny that you say that, because the other day a young Somali woman approached me. And because you guys are doing your radio show. So, yeah, of course, on Wednesday. Well, she's not young. She's probably 35. Well, she is young. Or younger than me.
Yeah.
45.
And much younger.
35, 45. Yeah. And so she says, you know what? She goes, I don't really like Donald Trump because he bombs. You know, he doesn't say anything when our children are getting killed. But no one says anything about all the children that President Obama killed by authorizing bombing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, interesting. I said, very interesting. That's the way to look at it. But to your distinct question there, Mr. Edwards,
let me just say from the left, that is a fair question, and that is a fair concern.
Yeah.
If you're going to be for
yeah.
real, then you,
mm-hmm.
you have to, there has to be an admission, if you will. I'm sorry, John, go right ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, and I mean, I see nothing about Yemen or what's going on, Iran, Iraq, et cetera. Even the troop movement in Afghanistan has gotten played down. I mean, this is not like the 60s where you don't have that information instantly, but they do have the capability to update you instantly, and it's not happening. So,
correct, because, we've been following, and I've actually been in contact with the office for quite some time of Congresswoman Wilson of Florida, who really stood up front and center when the President of the United States insulted an American warrior, if you will, Special Forces, Master Sergeant Johnson, if you will, insulted his wife, insulted his parents, insulted the congresswoman, and et cetera. That was basically handled by Chief of Staff, former General Kelly of the United States Marine Corps. And you never got a final report of what happened in that situation in Niger, if you will. Just kind of dismiss that, though the Black Caucus continued to try to bring that issue up, and et cetera. But I don't remember any discussions here in the Twin Cities driven by the 5th Congressional office. If I'm mistaken, then certainly correct me, but I know too many people
right.
who have asked certain questions about those events in Niger. The American drone base in the northern part of Niger, if you will, which has been built up there with American contractors and et cetera, to continue to target and kill Black Africans, if you will. You know, I just realized that I've never heard that talked about at any forum or anything. I mean, aren't Congress people expected to periodically reach out, have forums for their constituents? Or am I off base? Am I off base there?
No, you're on point, Mr. Edwards. That is something that people need to talk about. But, you know, I was looking here locally at just Minnesota, 5th Congressional District, town hall meetings, Yemen. I put all those keywords in and nothing came up. But when you look at the
that's
national...
what I'm afraid of, because that's what I was confronted with today in a conversation. And actually that the caller that we had from Missouri actually was kind to us, because I was asked specifically what discussions that we had here with that. And I was not able to indicate that we had any kind of discussions here.
Okay.
But you know, I and I'm puzzled that we don't have any, you know, calls coming from people that haven't already called. Don't you find it interesting that, everybody's talking in terms of, but, you know, maybe some way or another from the office of Attorney General, you'll be able to deal with that. I'm not sure. Anybody on the line? Anybody in the queue?
Oh, we have no one holding at this point. We have some people in the chat room, and that's basically it, Mr. Edwards. And but I did find a story here. 44 small graves stir questions about the U.S. policy in Yemen. There was an airstrike. I guess there was 54 young kids.
Yes, were killed.
That were
on a school bus.
Were killed. Yes, on a school bus that they're talking about. And so, I mean, that wasn't the United States, I don't think. According to the story.
Well,
so.
you want to be absolutely concise, Mr. Allen. I have to do this with you from the left. The weaponry that was used was part of a like $54 billion package signed when in fact the Trump administration was in Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia. Those babies were killed with American bombs. Munitions and et cetera. And I think that that piece you just read would be how individuals that test you with regards to how authentic you really are would kind of raise those questions. Those babies, those children, those Yemeni children were on that bus, were killed with American munitions, if you will. So maybe there wasn't an American in the F-18, if you will, but that was certainly American explosives and shrapnel and et cetera that ripped those children apart. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, that's what it's saying. That's what the story is saying. But again, our number is 347-426-3904, 347-426-3904, and the phone lines are open. If you have a question, you want to call in and talk about something. We have a lot of people in the chat room, a lot of people listening that don't think I can see them from the studio board, but I can. And we appreciate you. Don't go away. Don't run away. I'm not going to call you. Your phone number's not showing. And so it's very interesting. Very interesting to see what's happening here and what's going on. So, yeah, I'm just looking here for some other stuff.
Well, let's go back to Omarosa, because I thought that we would get a little bit more response with regards to how she was attacked by the president, the things that were said, and et cetera. That does not seem to be forthcoming. Neither is any kind of discussion forthcoming on the large number of Black Africans that are being killed in Black Africa. You know, the only conflicts are not only just in Afghanistan and Iraq. Folks really need to be paying attention to what's happening. Yeah, Don, I wonder how many people know really and understand what the African Command is. You know, we've mentioned this purposely on this program over the last year, and I noticed no one calls to ask or say anything. Have you always noticed that? We have talked about it privately in our meetings, but you know, it really is interesting, because I'm just trying to figure out what all of these people that asked for everybody's vote yesterday, what it is that they really expect to have happen, if you will. I'm just not quite understanding it, you know.
Either mind, I'm typing here. I have people that are, I'm trying to get them to, if they want to talk to, I'm just going to say it out loud.
Oh, they got to call
in general.
On the phone. They got to call.
You got to call, because it's taking me away from the show, and I'm trying to answer and send you the number. It's right there on my Facebook page. You can go to Blog Talk Radio, and the show pops right up. And so.
I think that some of those are coming from outside of the state of Minnesota, and may even be coming from international postings. Am I correct? As I'm looking at some communications here. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, that's one of those people that think that there are
some of us in the African-American community that do not understand foreign affairs or the issues, places far away, if you will, where people of color are dying, if you will, and particularly sons and daughters of Africa are dying, if you will. It is really so disappointing, Mr. Allen, that people really don't have the confidence to really stand up. You know, maybe that's the reason that at the Democratic and Republican conventions, basically black folks are pretty much never recognized, never put on the right committee, et cetera. I mean, think about it. I mean, I know you equated it being a very negative kind of statement, but just think about it. I mean, these folks just really kind of dismiss black people as being just insignificant. And as Donald Trump says, being dumb, which, of course, they're not. I mean, how do you fix your mouth to say that Maxine Waters is dumb? LeBron James is dumb. Barbara Jackson, Lee Jackson is dumb. I mean, how do you? Don Lemon is dumb, but I don't see the kind of vigor, if you will, that one would like to see, you know, bouncing back with regards to how these folks are talking and how black Americans are being so disrespected, man. Yeah, but I guess the new millennium will take care of all that, right? Because we've had a lot of, and I know where this is going to go with some of those folks, because we've had a lot of discussion from the current millennials in our city about the conflict and the deaths in the Arabian Sea and central black Africa, right? Right?
Absolutely.
But you've been to two or three meetings. I've been, oh, that's right, we haven't been to any meetings.
Yeah, you know, and I don't see any meetings in the black community, Mr. Edwards, over the last maybe 3 or 4 years, because, you know, I don't go to any community meetings, but I do look at the postings for these different meetings, and I don't see anything dealing with world policy, national policy, or even local policy. That's why people are so confused about the public policy for black Minnesotans. And it seems like the public policy goes unwritten, but what we see is that you can't, as a black person in Minnesota, run for office unless you're from Detroit, Florida, Somalia, California, New York, Washington, D.C., or Chicago.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting because you really don't have the perspectives. I wonder how many folks knew that there was only one occasion where we actually were able to put an African-American into a statewide race. You know, as I was talking to the gentleman from Kansas, I began to realize that probably three-fourths of these people don't even know who the late Elmer Childers was. Think about it. That's how sad it is. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Never. And you know, go ahead, Mr. Childers.
No, go ahead, Don. Go ahead.
No, I just want to tell people that are listening that excuse me, that you are a historian, but, you know, if you go back, way back, I'm talking about when the late Honorable, he's not a judge, but I call him Honorable because he was a judge in education, Richard Green had to go to Harvard, PhD, because the University of Minnesota wouldn't let him in. And I had a 75-year-old black man stakeholder in North Minneapolis call me when he showed a show posted, because he's just disgusted at all these people from everywhere else running for office, and these Minnesotans just sitting on their butt out in protest and not running for any office. And he says, you know what? Minnesota's been that way since I can remember. He goes, I remember when Dr. Richard Green, before it was Dr. Richard Green, applied to go to the University of Minnesota, and he had to end up going out to Harvard, which was great for him, I'm sure, going to Harvard, but I'm pretty sure he would rather stay here and go to the University of Minnesota.
He definitely would have. Dr. Green and myself and some others spoke quite frequently and oftentimes, if you will. You know, there were some difficult times for Dr. Green with regards to, as a native son, born, raised here in the Twin Cities, here in North Minneapolis, how he was treated, if you will. How some of those who consider themselves to be elite, so they just got here off the train or whatever, that in itself is is very important, very significant, if you will, when you talk about the legacy of Dr. Richard Green, if you will. But there are many others, Dr. Thomas Johnson, medical physician and surgeon, the late Frank Alsop, vice president of the AFL-CIO, if you will, certainly Nellie Stone Johnson. I listened, by the way, to a program on Urban Affairs Station. I need to say this now. Dr. Josie Johnson. And again, I want to send our condolences and prayers to her based on what happened to her with an Uber driver, a black Uber driver, if you will. But the reason I said that is that Dr. Johnson was on a program on Sunday, and it was sad that no one knew enough of the history of Dr. Johnson to call and to reflect to her the appreciation, because, you know, Dr. Josie Johnson lost a daughter in Africa.
Yeah.
See, many of folks here who pretend that they run their mouths and talk in terms of how old they are and et cetera. Just for the record, Dr. Johnson's daughter, who was a anchor for one of the major networks, died on an airplane that also included the congressman from Houston, Texas, Mickey Leland. Yeah. And
now that's
that
some knowledge.
All,
I didn't even know that.
Yes. Because during that same period of time, an airplane flying over then Yugoslavia with a very dynamic African-American by the name of Ron Brown, who was a special advisor and assistant secretary and et cetera, plane went down under very mysterious circumstances. But because I know the heartache that Dr. Johnson felt when her daughter died in that airplane crash in Black Africa where they were there, on a fact-finding, if you will, and the great commitment, if you will, of Dr. Johnson, and also a couple of others that we need to mention, Judge Pam Alexander, and particularly Judge Lejeune Lang, Lejeune Thomas Lang, if you will, African-American women who, in the early days of Nelson Mandela, and by the way, the Minnesota Symphonic Orchestra should be applauded. They're putting on some beautiful concerts in South Africa as we speak, if you will. But I could well remember a delegation of black women that went here from Minnesota to the reconciliation here in black South Africa and et cetera. And, you know, I just don't even hear those kinds of things talked about, Mr. Allen. And of course, you understand, I mean, I have over 20-some years on you, but, I mean, I listen to these clowns. Really, I listen to these people, and they represent, really, Mr. Allen, a danger to themselves. They really do. And they do irreparable harm and damage to the future of the sons and daughters of Africa. Yeah.
Yes, they do. There's just some worrying things going on.
Yeah.
Again, our phone lines are wide open. You can give us a call at 347-426-3904. But when we talk about these type of things, people don't want to call in, but they definitely want to listen. And
yes, they do. I like to believe that.
And mm-hmm. I don't know if that's good, because if you have some knowledge to contribute to the conversation, or you don't agree with a specific point or stance we have, you know, mm-hmm. we invite you to call in. We're not going to beat anybody up, okay? And Blog Talk Radio is broadcast all across the United States, all across the world. You can get it in the middle of Antarctica if you need to. And
that's
so
right.
We want to make sure that we put the information out there, and then you decide, you know. And the thing
I like
that
Don. They can decide.
Yeah.
They can decide the validity and the depth and the wealth of
exactly.
what is being
exactly.
offered. Yes, certainly,
yeah,
certainly,
yeah,
certainly.
Yeah, we're not CNN or Fox or MSNBC. We're not going to tell you what you're supposed to think. Okay?
Mm.
We will let you, you know, if you can discern what's going on and what we're talking about, then you can pretty much handle this. Otherwise, you know, you're just a sheep, you know. A lion doesn't need a permission to be a lion. And you know if a lion's there, why it's there.
And you better run. You better run your ass out of there if you see a lion. But, yeah, it's troubling, Mr. Edwards. It's really troubling in this time just to see all this stuff going on. You know, I don't wish Congressman Ellison any ill at all. You know, I just don't see his ideology. I don't believe in that point of view. And all I can have is my own popular opinion about what I would do if I was in that position, or you have your opinion about what you would do.
Yes,
you know, as a
yes.
stakeholder and a historian, you already know what should be done. And the reason why we have these conversations in the first place is because stuff isn't being done. We know that there is a black community whisper campaign that can tell you anything about everything. Okay. And so,
Absolutely. And so
when this stuff happens, we've talked about it off air. We're not going to defame anybody or do anything like that, go right to the air, but we're not the youngster that put a Facebook post up about his mom getting treated ill. Okay. We didn't do that.
Okay? Absolutely.
We just saw it, and we did mm-hmm. everything in our power to try to get the people and the parties involved and get them on the air to talk about this, to have this conversation, to say, okay, what went down? And that's because we know our history. We can go back to 2005 and 2006 and read stuff.
I go back further than that. I go back further than
okay.
that, my brother. You understand okay, what I'm saying?
Well,
I go all the way back to 1958, 1959. You know, that's why periodically when the disrespect comes from folks, I do have to, because I'm not a pacifist, if you will. So don't apologize for not being, but I see certain conduct which actually is unacceptable with regards to the salvation, if you will, of the sons and daughters of the Africans. And you and I have talked about this quite often. Let me say it like this, because we just have a couple minutes left. We in Black America, we are in big trouble. We still have about 10 minutes left, Mr. Allen. Phone lines are open.
Yes.
You know, we've laid some things. I'm just fascinated by no one has called to make inquiry or challenge or accept the fact that Black Africans, Black people, are being killed in Black Africa by American military forces, French military forces, British military forces, by white nations, if you will. And there's just kind of a silence, if you will.
Well, and Ms. Harris, now that you said that, also, what I think 6-7 years ago, China came in, negotiated for all the minerals, a lot of the minerals in the Congo, because, you know, that's the richest deposit of diamonds, metal, everything that I have
in the world.
I have my cell phone, my iPad, my laptop, my my everything here. The minerals come from out of Africa, and
yeah.
So China went in and negotiated to build highways in the Congo and other places in Africa
for the rights to certain
areas. And mm-hmm. I don't think we've ever, not even Africans in the United States, let me just put it like this. Africans in Minnesota have not had that conversation in the public sphere. Black Americans in Minnesota have not had that conversation. The only time that conversation comes up is in a college classroom, usually, in some academic setting where that's a thing to be studied, teaching social studies teachers, teaching,
analyze,
okay? How did this happen?
Yeah.
How did this happen? Yeah, anybody can take a look at this through a critical lens and say, oh, well, this happened because this happened. But then again, let's go way back, you know. How
mm-hmm.
did 10 white men come to the continent of Africa and enslave, and I'm just being kind of sarcastic with the 10 white men, come to the continent of Africa with millions and millions and millions of black people and enslave a whole nation to the point where they're basically enslaved today?
Yes. In other words, really, a whole continent. A whole continent.
The whole continent.
Remember continent.
Egypt and all those little
yeah.
places are in Africa. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
continent of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it mm-hmm. kind of troubles me because people aren't reading. You know, I was explaining to this young cat, I was done with teaching summer school last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one student, Mr. Edwards, and I looked at his transcript, and I can't say his name, but I looked at his transcript, and I said D, C, D, D all throughout the school year.
Yes.
And I said, you know, I went up to him. I said, "Hey, do you read?" And he says, I haven't read no book. I said, you should start reading because you're pretty sharp in class, but you're missing that little element of reading some stuff to have some more conversation. And he goes, mm-hmm. yeah. I said, back in the day, when we wanted a girl's phone number, we didn't have an iPhone. Okay, we had to get a napkin from the bar and write it down and fold it neatly in a pocket, especially if she was beautiful and you didn't want to lose it, and tuck mm-hmm. it in our wallets and use that number. And then we had to memorize it.
Mm-hmm.
And all the information that we got, we didn't have the iPad to look up words like surreptitious and convoluted. We had to go to
right.
a big, thick-ass red Webster's dictionary and look up these words to understand the meaning.
Yeah.
Because the least that you could do for yourself right now is to take – I gave him a dictionary take-home for the rest of the summer. I said,
mm-hmm.
when you're sitting down doing nothing, pick up this dictionary and just go to a couple words. Close your eyes and put your finger on a word and start
mm-hmm.
reading. And that's the
mm-hmm.
problem with our community, this instant information from the internet where you can just sit here and Google stuff. You don't have to look at no Ms. Edwards, when you were growing up, did you have all them encyclopedias in the house? Your folks had them encyclopedias that they would sell door to door? Britannica?
That's right. Well, you have to understand,
yeah.
remember, Don, I came from a family of both doctors and lawyers. That's right. And in fact, I was encouraged, and I can still remember it, if you will, listening to the RCA Victor big radio in the front room of our home in Kansas City. It would be 1943. I'd be 4 years old. Yet I was listening to the broadcasts that were coming over the radio and through the airwaves, talking in terms of the conflict in Europe and the Pacific and et cetera. And I will always cherish the fact that I was encouraged to do that, as well as I was being read to and then being encouraged to read. But let me do this as we're coming down to the last couple minutes, because the pieces you posed about Africa and the move by China. By the way, China has moved significant facilities into South America, particularly in Chile and et cetera. The United States didn't even know what was happening. Chinese have built a observatory down there for space research and et cetera. But let me do this as pertains to reading. I would like to recommend, and anybody feel free to call us next week, I would recommend that a lot of black folks need to read the book. It needs to read the book The River by Edward Hopper. It is a Pulitzer winning book. It's a little over 1,000 pages. Ooh, so it could be difficult for some people. Some people probably couldn't even stay sober that long to read it. But the reason that I suggest the book The River by Edward Hopper, 10 years in the writing and the drafting, if you will, about the point of origin of HIV.
AIDS.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Ms. Go ahead.
I just want to tell you, I just posted a link because I read that, and that is amazing. Okay, I just posted it. It's free to read because there's a PDF right there, and I posted it to the show page. All you got to do is click on it and start reading. That's it.
That's right. It's a little over 1,000 pages. It's about 1,090 pages. Again, it's by a researcher by the name of Edward Hopper, a Caucasian, a white researcher, who used basically all black research staff and et cetera. And what was so sad, and I thank Don, you'll find it at the book, that every one of those black individuals who were from the Congo and Uganda and Burundi and Rwanda and et cetera, every one of those men that worked for him in that toxic situation in the eastern Congo and that part, all of them died. All of them died of HIV and AIDS. But the key piece is we give some of these folks a better understanding of what genocide is really all about. Because what you also do is compare that to Tuskegee. They compare that to Flint, Michigan. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're coming down. Let me just see here. We're coming down to about a minute or so left.
Oh, we could wrap it. I think we've had an excellent program. I think we had a lot of people listening, a lot of folks doing research right now on some of the things that we said.
Okay. Let me turn it down. There we go.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, have James Brown, my man. Bring us on in.
Okay.
Yeah. And we watch closely as we move toward.